How many knows that quality decision secures your destiny? You know, the world is messed up. You know, they're messed up on how to, you know, how to live. I'm talking about people without God. They're messed up. I mean, we're living in a society. Now, I've had to make a quality decision the last couple of years that I'm going to preach this Bible. Men can marry women, and churches can let ungodliness preach in the church and all of that, but I won't do it. I never will do it. I'm going to preach that Bible. I don't care what the culture says. I mean, I love people and I care about people, but when it comes to the Bible, I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to have it in my heart. That's the truth. And the Bible says we shall know the truth and the truth will make us free. And when I do that, that secures my future. I don't care what the TV says. You watch all kinds of TV shows now that polygamy and, you know, sister wives and all kinds of stuff and bewitched and warlocks and all that. And all that seems natural. It seems common and all that stuff. And I mean, you watch even cartoons that are cussing and different things, you know, and these things are coming to desensitize the people, to desensitize us of the demonic agenda that's going on in this planet, praise God. But I've made quality decision, you know. I'm not against people, you know, that they believe they're supposed to be a woman or they're supposed to be a man, you know, and they feel out of place. The reason why is because they've not identified with their maker. Because once we identify with our maker, we know who we are. We have that inward knowing then who we're created to be, you know. But why I'm saying all this is because, I mean, you watch TV shows where two men they're doing advertising with gain and, you know, and things, and two men walking together with kids and like this is just normal, you know. And then wanting to desensitize, and then the stuff that is going on in the school system. You know, they call it cancel culture, and that teaching them. You know, Aubrey didn't really know about racism until they taught her in school. Come on, somebody. Until they taught her in school. She really didn't know about black and white and blah, 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 you know, and all of that to feel uncomfortable in the culture. But the TV's teaching them, and, you know, schools are teaching them, praise God. And then they say, you know, they're trying to push an agenda that is contrary to the Bible all the way to the White House. I'm not into politics. Don't even like to be in it. Don't like it, you know. But I'm not into politics. I'm into, you know, I'm going to have a voice. And that voice is going to be what I believe based on the Bible. And I'm going to make it in writing, hallelujah. And you know what? If the culture don't like me and the world don't like me and half the church don't like me, so be it. They didn't like Jesus. They didn't like Paul. They didn't like, some of them didn't like all of that because they want rid of this Bible out of my house. They want rid of it out of the church. They want the anointing. They don't care if we come together and socialize. Just don't get the power going. Just don't get the anointing flowing. Just don't get faith that moves mountains. Don't mess with Satan's agenda. We're called to bring down the kingdom of darkness. And it's so simple as the word says. I read it in the word. I was wondering, how can I overcome evil? You know, and it wasn't too long. I read in there that it says overcome evil with good. And I made a quality decision. How many knows what a quality decision is? A solid decision that you make based on the Word of God, and you're not going to back off of it. You're not going to back off of it when the going gets tough. You're not going to back off of it. You've made a quality decision, and that truth will make you bring freedom in that decision when you need it. You know, I'm not gonna go along with this culture that it's okay for women to marry women and okay for men. We're living in a culture now that we don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to offend nobody. I sure don't. But I'm not gonna back off of the decisions that I've made based on the Word of God to spare anybody's feelings. Because that, you know, people that are that way, they're not bad people. They're just giving in to ungodliness. They're giving in to an agenda that is contrary to biblical principle. There is contrary to God. And they're doing it in the enemy. They're strongholds of the enemy that is behind all of that to get them to steal, kill, and destroy in their life. They don't realize until they hear the preaching. If the church is not going to... Look, the church is not called to flow along with the world. The church is not called to not offend. You know, I was attacked, you know, about tithes and offerings and, you know, different things. I mean, it ain't my first rodeo, man. I mean, I've been in this a long time. Well, you know what? The very one that attacked me, because I wouldn't back down, not tied and mean, and I'm not talking about none of that. The Bible says the righteous are bold. It don't say they're mean. They think they got a bad attitude. Nobody messes with me because I might beat them. That's stupid. That is dumb. But a boldness on the Word of God and what the Word of God says is not dumb. It boldness, you can seem arrogant, but you would give them the shirt off of your back. You would lay down your life for them. You know, I mean, there's a boldness about the kingdom when you make quality decisions. But you know what? That person caught me yesterday. And that person caught me and come up to me and said, you got a minute? And I said, I got all the time you need. See, I never was offended. It never did bother me. I thought, you don't want to believe the Bible? This church is not for you? This is not your cup of tea? I mean, you know, just go find your cup. Find somewhere to go, hallelujah. Well, the person come to me and they says, well, I've been bothered ever since we had that conversation. He said, man, I want it to be good with us. I said, well, I've had nothing all along. I said, you know, I said, I, we're good. I said, we're really good. He said, man, I love you. And I said, I love you too, man. I said, I really mean that. He said, I know you do. And he said, I know the church loves me, don't they? I said, yeah, the church loves you too, man. I said, they sure do. He said, you know, well, I've got a problem. He said, see, when you're really right, you realize what's going on in your life. Then you're ready to change and get rid of that so you can move on. He said, I realize I have to keep my mouth shut about the thoughts that I have. I said, that's all of us, friend. See, but what I'm saying is, I won him by love. See, love stands for what the Bible says. The Bible said, love the Lord our God with all of our heart. Well, you gotta love the Bible then. Because the Bible is his word. It's truth. Hallelujah. Sex outside of marriage is not okay. It's not okay. But committing adultery is not okay with God. It's not good. I've made quality decisions. We must make quality decisions based on the Word of God and stand on it. See, the Bible, I mean, the TV is teaching us, you know, they going together, and then all of a sudden, even the other day, I was watching some kind of movie, and the guy was married, and he was in another country, and they just started having a little affair like it's okay. See, that gets in the consciousness of people. That right there does, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, you know, they're just acting like it's no big deal. His wife's in another country, so it's okay. She's well over there. We're married, but you know, I mean, I'm lonely over here. See, I'm not going to go along with that garbage. Praise God, hallelujah. I'm like, if you get married, stay married. If you, you know, it's like I told Travis, I told him one time, you took her life on. She could have went with anybody. She can be somewhere else. Love her. I showed you how to love her with your mom. Not just tell him how to love her and how to be a husband. But you know, I made quality decision. Now, see, that might seem braggingly on my part, but I'm before the Lord. Lord, I want to be a good husband. Lord, teach me how to be a good father. I'm wanting to know what God said about it, not what grandma and grandpa and brother and sister and mother and all the other church people says about it. I want to know how to do it through the Bible. That way the Bible will set me free. Hallelujah. And so the Bible caused me to be a living example. Ain't that what the Bible says? We're living examples. We're living examples. See, we got to make quality decisions based on the Word of God in our marriage. I've made a quality decision based on the Word of God in my finances. I'm going to tithe if hell freezes over. I'm going to give when God says give. I'm going to give to me and Teresa. They called me the other day. Ken and Copeland Ministries called me the other day, and they said, you've been partners with us for, I don't forget how many years now, 26 or 7 years, every month. We made quality decisions. Now, we went through 07 and all of that, and man, didn't have money, and you know, and I mean, did all of that stuff, but you know, it felt good. I thought to myself, man, I didn't know we'd been partners that long. See, we made a quality decision to plug in where God said plug in. And you know what? We got the same anointing because we're partners with them. Whether I get toys or don't. But you know what? The Bible says if we seek first the kingdom and his way of doing and being, all these things will be added to you. I made a quality decision that scripture right there would make my life come to pass, that I have desires if I will seek the kingdom first. I made a quality decision based on the Word of God. I mean, even preachers told me back under when I was called to preach, you know, and I got told a few of them, was in amongst them, you know, and, well, you signed up for poverty. And I said, what does that mean, man? Signed up for poverty? You know, preachers don't make good money. They just don't make good money. You know, the congregation's stingy. They don't give in offerings. I mean, I heard all kinds of stuff, man. You know, and I'm reading that Bible, you know. And then I hear a preacher get on there, and he said, never put pressure on people. He said, faith will never put pressure on people. See, when you put pressure on me, you turn me off. That's the way the congregation is. If you're putting pressure on them, oh, now, we know y'all got to come off that wallet, give some money here. This preacher's broke over here and all his bills are due, and let's bless him now. That's not the way to get them to give. The way to get them to give is the anointed word under the anointing, the Word of God that goes down to the piercing, dividing asunder soul, spirit, bone, marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, Hebrews 4 says. So I made a quality decision. I'm not preaching the gospel for money. Never. I made a quality. They called me one time right after this. They called me at my church. And they, you know, if you go into a church and you preach and you minister, they usually don't give you an offering. You're serving. You know, you're serving your church. And so they asked me to preach to the youth. And had a youth night. I don't know how many it was. Probably about 40, 50 of them up there. Anyway, they took up an offering. And the youth was wanting to go on some mission or something. I don't remember what it was. You know, anyways, the offering was pretty good, man. I looked at that and I thought, man, they ain't never give me an offering. $50, about all I get anywhere else. I get a good offering at home here. $50, you know. And so the Lord spoke to me. He said, why don't you give the teenagers that offer, show them how to be generous. I thought, but God, I'm just gonna do that. And so we get all said and done, and I got up there, and I said, y'all know what the scripture says? Everybody's wondering. I said, it says, give, and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give to your bosom. Everybody, amen, amen. Hallelujah. So I told the youth, I said, y'all all come up here. I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to send y'all. I said, the Lord wants me to be an example. Y'all give me an offering, and I'm going to sow this offering. Y'all were believing for something. I said, and that's causing me to want to give. You're believing. I said, it's not about I know what you need. I know you need something, so I need to help you. I said, your faith is causing me to want to give. I said, your faith believing God had your father to speak to me to give this offering to you. And I gave that offering. I said, the way to get all of your mission trips is give. All of your mission trips, give. Anything God is asking you to do, then you give. Why? I was making a quality decision to preach to them how to operate in faith in God. Not faith in car washes. Not faith in... I went to a car wash one time. See, this stuff ain't right. I went to a car wash, and they're wanting to go on a mission trip. Them kids, they're from the church, whatever church it was, had their church name out there. I thought, well, but God, I'll bust them about $50, let them wash my car. So I get out there, and they wash it, you know, and I'm thinking, I'm going to check it out. So when they went around my car, about four or five of them, you know, and I knew they didn't wash it good. I'm watching them. So I get out there and I walk around my car. I said, there's some dirt. I looked over at the pastor and I said, that ain't right. I said, y'all didn't give offering. I said, get my truck washed right. I said, if you want me to give you money, ask me. But if you are going to wash my vehicle for money, then you get it clean. I had all of them mad. That's that pastor down there at Faith Way Christian Center. Who does he think he is? Well, we're not going to raise a bunch of kids up in the Lord that expects everything and don't do a good job. Show up if they want to. Half-heartedly do it. And I don't even, see, I mean, I shouldn't even be preaching that. I'm live right now. Now I'm going to have a bunch of pastors mad. I ain't talking about your church. I'm talking about ours. Hallelujah. See, that's biblical. Do unto others as you would. I guarantee you, if they give you $25, you better wash their car. Some of them call the law on you now. That same ones that would do that to your car would say that's ungodly. Because it's done to them. And so I made them go back over my car. I want it washed. Wash it right. Get all that dirt out of them wheels. Now I'm out there telling his crew that he should have been up there instead of over there popping off about Jesus. Over popping off, talking, popping off about Jesus and letting his little Jesus followers do me that way. Wasn't a real good witness. Well, I made a quality decision. Train them up the way they should go. Hallelujah. Don't the Bible say that? Well, it don't say go out there, oh, just be, you know, generous to them. They're trying to get up money to go on a mission. Well, they're going to have to do it like we all do, God's way. Right? I don't know why I had to do that, but it is what it is. We have to make quality decisions based on the Word of God. That is where, I mean, even with your wife. I mean, this church should be an example of men that give their life for their wife. But God, did if it cost them for her to be well taken care of, that they would absolutely do it, spend and be spent. Women ought to honor their husbands, submit to their husbands, as unto the Lord. Hallelujah. See, these are quality decisions. I told Travis when he's getting married, he got up, he got a little brave, you know, when he got up there about, and he told us he was going to get married. Don't make no difference what we say. Can't do nothing about it now. I'm 18. He wishes we'd intervened a little later. But you know, I told him, I said, look, I said, you're never going to live with me and Mom again. You are never coming back home. You understand? You're not getting free lights and free water. You're not going to ever freeload. You know, if you get married, you're a man. And a man goes to work and gets his own water and his own house and his own refrigerator and his own electricity. One of Teresa's uncles told me he got a trencher out there, and he said, well, we could run a, I'll bring my trencher over here. And I looked at him and said, he ain't sucking my water down for nothing. I said, the boy can get his own water meter. So I told him, get your own water meter. You know what? The water meter was $700. He liked to faint it. But you know what? He bought his own water meter. Now today he's independent. He don't need me, and I'm glad. I don't like my kid needing me all the time.
I need you, Dad. I need you, Dad. No, you don't. You want me to work.
Yeah, I don't see you needing me when the barbecue grill's on. You need me when your refrigerator's blowed up and you can't drag it out by yourself. You know, I don't see you needing me when you got all the loaf bread and the meat and all that laid out there. You know? I call it suckers. There's some kids suckers. Gimme, 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 gimme. Gimme, gimme, gimme. It's not godly. I've had to train him up the way he should go. That means biblical. That don't mean emotional. That don't mean me giving him his way because I feel sorry for him. He's going to have to spend some money. No, that's not loving him as a father or, you know, or a parent. That is not loving him. Now, because I loved him and he got his own ride. You know what? I ain't had to even co-sign no more. I co-signed with him. He was late on payments all the time, ruining my credit.
I get later.
Now, you know what? He's on the phone with Beth. Now, I didn't co-sign now. Finally got up. Mother Teresa told me, don't you ever link to him again. You've got a good name and he's ruining it. It's never on time, Johnny. But boy, he is never late now. It's all in his name. But God, he's going to pay them bills early. He called Beth, pay them all. I'm like, well, it worked with him. Praise God. See, but you know what? He's making quality decisions like he's seen me and doing the Bible himself. And when we make quality decisions, those decisions bring in the biblical answers into our life. People have told me, this inevitable to get a divorce. You know, you just don't know how she is. I tell them, look, man, do you believe in the anointing? I said, well, go anoint you some handkerchiefs and put it in her underwear drawer if you have to. Put it in his sock. I've told him, put it under their pillow, put it under the bed, and believe God to break that yoke-breaking anointing move into your marriage. See, those are quality decisions, not based on what I feel like getting a divorce. I feel like just giving up. I feel like just getting out from under the pressure. See, you can't come to that point. You've got to make quality decisions not based on emotions, feelings, counsel of people. How many knows there's some ungodly counsel going on in the church? Not this church that I know of. If I find out, they won't be. It won't happen long. Ain't nobody here going to encourage you. I'm going to encourage you. You're going in to just get married, don't ever look back. There's no option of divorce. Not in that Bible. And if y'all go after the Lord, there won't be. It won't be y'all getting right up out of the water, skiing right off the bat with Jesus. And have a good, long, married life. Work on having a home and everything. And home's not just a house. A home can be a box. Y'all two make a family and a life that in it. That's a home. But quality decisions. See, our destinies have been laid out by the Lord. Did you know the Bible says that he has a plan for us? We won't turn her a bit. Jeremiah 29:11, he said, for I know the plans that I have towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts. I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts that a good, of a good future and hope for your future. In other words, you've got a plan for us. And once we begin to make quality decisions based on the Word of God, that plan will begin to unfold in our lives. Because God, you'll be reading the Bible or hearing preaching, and you'll hear the very thing that God wants to mold your life to, and you got to lay hold of that. You got to lay hold of it. You got to lay hold of it right then, just like I did on giving. I mean, when that was a revelation to me, I won't turn it loose, baby. But God, I can't help it. I'm just going, I got to give somewhere all the time. I have to. I feel like this thing drives me to give. But not a bad way. That drive to give. That drive to give. But you know what it does? I don't lack. I do not lack. And I'm telling you, anything I find out the will of God, God's never told me. He's never turned me down. He's always given me what I asked for. What I didn't need, he'd say, you don't really want that. He'd have somebody say it so I'd quit believing for it. He'll give you what you want. He'll let you go right on and get what you think you want. And then you experience the emptiness of that thing that don't satisfy. See, he said in the Old Testament, he said, some go after gods. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have, he's talking about money and the works of their hands and all that, trusting in it. I mean, we got a lot of people turning away from God today. They're relying on their jobs. They're relying on their extra hours. They're relying on, a lot of stuff. The government. They're relying on things other than God. He said he would have no other God before him. He did. I mean, I had to learn to stop trusting in me to take care of us. Because I used to think the man of the house, man, he's responsible. And so, really, that is so. He's responsible to lean on God and lead his family to lean on God. And lead his family. I mean, I don't have that problem with Travis, but if he was a workaholic, I'd tell him right now, you're getting ungodly. You need to stop that. Stop working 60 hours. I probably won't ever see that. That dude, 7 o'clock, he's in a hurry. I mean, he's in a hurry when he leaves the shop to get back home. And so he turns it on. He smokes it, man. So I don't doubt I ever have to worry about seeing 80 hours of it. He's anointed to get it done, get back home, But but he learned. I remember one time him gonna do something, I don't know, and I had this big job, and I told him, I said, when this job's done, I'm gonna give you $1,000 or $2,000, whatever it was, big job, gonna take a pretty good while, I told him, but don't trust in that job. Well, he started doing it. Every day I hear him, I'm going to do this with that job, and I'm going to do this with that job. That's the only job that I ever lost that I know of because he put his trust in. But he learned a lesson. That I didn't get those doors. It was my regular contractor, too, that I'd been doing for a long time. The dude backed out on the doors because he had somebody who wanted to put them in himself. My contractor never does that. So that fell through, and he was discouraged. I can't have nothing now. You shouldn't have had your trust in that to have something to start with. Then you would not have been let down. That was his deliverer. He did it on his income day. Boy, when I get income day, I'm going to do this. I got sick of hearing it. I got plumb sick of hearing that. About half the year gone, and I start hearing it. Boy, I can tell you, buddy, April, I'm doing this and chunking this, and I'm doing that and that and that. And so I got tired of hearing it. And so one day I told him, I said, why don't you believe to get all this that you want before you get your income taxes back, and then you can keep your income taxes. Seen him start doing it. I seen him start doing it. Start paying things off. How many knows we need to make quality decisions in our life financially to be financially free? Asking the Lord. I mean, he will help you get financially free. You know, I'm looking forward to the day whenever I, you know, stop doing garage doors. If I ever do, probably won't. I'm not lazy. I just can't stand the thoughts of sitting there all day long in the living room. I mean, how many days can you do that? You know, I'm like, nah, man. See, we can plan to be lazy. I've heard them down there 27 years old. Boy, I'll be glad when I get to retire and quit. Retire. I'm like, man, you're 27. You're already thinking about what you going to do. I said, you won't want a game at 65. You're done with the pool hustling in the pool hall. You know. But but when it boils down, I say, why? I hate work. You're lazy. You don't hate work. You're lazy. You don't want to do nothing. You don't want to do nothing. This church ain't lazy. If you are lazy, we're gonna drive it out under the anointing. The Bible says, let a man work, let a man work, let a man work, not let a man work with his own hands, not with everybody else's hands. Let a man work. That he'll have, there's an anointing comes on that man that'll make him be like Elijah, outrunning chariots of horses, man. That there's an anointing that'll come on that. That's a quality decision based on the Word of God. And the Word of God brings the anointing on that quality decision, man or woman, and empowers them and transforms them and changes them. Hallelujah. Let a man work. There's something wrong with this culture. I mean, I went through 7 people. And you know what? People that come to work for me, I don't stand there going, oh, yeah, do it, move that, move, move. Put that together, do that, you know. Oh, I'm paying you. That's dumb. Get down there with it. I get out. It ain't like they have to work hard, D. I'm doing all the work. They're watching me. And they still don't want to work. Offered one guy, my neighbor told me, he said, hey, man, he said, it's because you died paying them that labor. I said, really? So I offered one guy $20 an hour. I said, I'm going to start you out $20 an hour. I'll be there Monday, sir. I wonder which year. I wonder which Monday on what year. The dude still ain't showed up. So I went back to my neighbor. I said, you're wrong. What am I wrong about? I said, it ain't the money. We're living in a lazy culture. I said, they don't want to work for $50 an hour. Damien asked me, he said, go, let him go over there and pick up sticks. Man, he just don't know. I work over there, man, really. I mean, when I go over there, I mean, I got a short. I'm like that that movie used to, I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Watch this bandit run, whatever. When I go over there, I've just got a few hours. So I'm making every minute count when I hit that ground over there. I mean, it's like water's begging me to come get it. So he says, how much does it pay? I said, not much. That's the wrong question to ask me, how much is it going to make. What does it matter? How much are you making? This culture's messed up, ain't it? How much you making right now? I didn't ask him that, but I should have. I should have said, how much you making? Nothing. Well, anything's better than that. So I'm going to pay you cheap, man. Work hard. I'll give you a raise. You know? So I just went on and told him. I said, I don't know, probably about $7 an hour. I started to say 10. I thought, nah, he won't work at all. You pay him too much, they make $50 or ready to go. So pay them half of that. They got to work twice as long. So you get your money's worth that way. You're going to pay them 10, pay them 5. So when you get to 10 hours, you done saved money. You done made them want to work. Because you done figured, that'd be $80 for 10 hours. I'm thinking, you can't handle me for 10 hours. I bet them boys can't handle me for 10 hours. I got fence posts to drive and everything. And that's churred over there. But you know what? Maybe they need to follow me a little bit. Maybe I need to take your kids with me. They won't be this minded, you old man. I need a lot of money. They'll do the community good when we get done with them. All this church train our kids right. They'll be a blessing wherever they're working, but God. They'll know that they're going to work. I told Aubrey, I said, you want to do the garden? Now she knows I take her down there. It's hot in the garden. My corn all that, everybody, how does he do that? Travis told some of them the other day, he's out there every day, isn't it? I mean, you ain't gonna lay on the couch up there and tomatoes just pop on there, man. You got to go hoe them out. You got to go put the fertilizer. I feed mine at least once a week. Pull the suckers off. Well, if I own my own business, oh no, I ain't got time to do it. I come in one night, 20 after 8. I'm gonna work it out. I planted that, and I ain't gonna lose my harvest. That's a quality decision. See, some won't work when the harvest is there. The Bible says when the harvest comes, we put in the sickle. Some people don't make quality decisions. They never have a harvest. And they wonder why some people are blessed and they're not. It's not hard to figure out. If we serve the Lord, he'll bless us. If we just tack him on our Facebook account, that's all you're going to get, that. You're going to get people thinking, well, they're good Christians. Well, maybe you are, maybe you ain't. But have you got any victory? Have you got any anointing? Have you got a harvest coming into your life? Have you got the transforming power of the Holy Spirit? See, we got to make quality. I've made a quality decision that we're going to do the ministries that I know is in my heart. We're going to go to the prisons. We're going to go to the jails. We're going to go to the nursing homes. Hallelujah. We're going to go. We're going to go into highways and the byways. Well, what if we can't? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. See, God was not afraid to go down to Matthew when he just come in from making his living and telling him, throw down your nets and follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. Jesus was the, he didn't say, oh God, how is his family going to survive if I do that? You know what the Bible says they did? They forsook it. They forsook it. And then they begin to follow Jesus, and he began to take care of them. See, this kingdom works different than what the world thinks. People used to ask me, they would say, see, I don't never get burned out. I don't feel like I need a vacation and all that. And I mean, I'm going all the time, busy. I was over here yesterday, and I'm down there, boy, and I'm cutting some timber. I'm fixing to build my honey a little, what's it called?
Pavilion. With a pool.
In a, what are we going to put in it? A tiki? Tiki? Whatever it is. Going to have me a little oasis up there. Don't bubble concrete it. Put a bathroom. And put some big hanging. So I thought, well, I'm just going to have to wait on that cottage for a little bit. I told the Lord, I said, I'm going to focus in on that, Lord. That way I can get this done. So I'm up there yesterday, Saturday. My day off. And I'm out there, and I'm running that sawmill. And I noticed all of a sudden I've got water dripping off my britches into my boots. And I'm like, man, it must be hot out here. I did, man. I thought, it must be hot. Looked around, I'm soaking wet, and I thought, well, I didn't feel it. I'm busy. I ain't got time for that. So I go in there, and I run the whole log till I got done. And I thought, well, it's lunch. I might well go take a nap. And then I got my whole garden to do. So I go over there, tell Teresa, wake me up in 1 hour. If I sleep too long, Johnny, I feel like I've had a hangover. I just can't sleep 3 and 4. I don't know how y'all do it. Sleep 6 hours. I don't feel good for some reason. We know. You slept too long. So I get up. I go take care of business. I come back, pray God, and Aiden and them, here they come. Where are you, Papa? Where are you going? I said, I'm going to the garden. Want to go to the garden? I said, okay. Aubrey gets her little chair and umbrella. She's got a little chair for her birthday. She's got an umbrella on the back of it, you know, hooked to the back of it, so you don't get out of sun. You can get out of sun. So she said, hold on, Papa. She come a few minutes, she come back. I said, what's that? She said, I got to carry my chair and umbrella. I said, you ain't going to have time for that. We're going to the garden. You're not going to have time to sit in that. I said, well, put it on her anyways. So Aiden, he comes around there, and we go out to the shop, having to get something out the shop, and he says, Papa, he said, I want to ride my four-wheeler. I said, the chain's coming off, and I'm going to have to fix it. Well, Papa, let's fix it right now. I said, I don't got time to fix it right now, son. Well, what are you doing? I said, we're going to the garden. I said, no, Papa, can't fix that right now. So he said, okay. So we get on there. I thought, I will not be detoured. Not by 4, 3 foot or 6 foot. Aubrey and Aiden. So we get down there at the garden. He looked at me and said, Papa. I said, yes. He said, can I go get my other four-wheeler? I said, just go on. Go get it. So he goes out there, gets the battery operated, runs it down. Down there at the garden, he said, Papa, I need to go home. It's hot. I said, well, hit it. Papa is staying out here. I said, I got work to do here. I finished that all but hoeing out. Said, what I'm telling you that is, I'm not going to sow seeds. I'm not going to make quality decisions in my life. Then when things get a little tough, just back off of them and then lose my harvest of all that I've labored for. Now, I'm talking about spiritually. I feel like I'm about a quarter of a way grown up spiritually, and I sure ain't going to back off of that quarter. I've worked a lot with the Lord and the Holy Spirit and made quality decisions in hard times and all of that. I'm down there. I'm over there working last Saturday, and the Lord tells me to go fix something for somebody. I'm like, Lord, I ain't got time for that. I'm busy. See, we got to watch telling our Father we're too busy for Him. And so what I'm saying is, I've made a quality decision. When I know it's the Lord, I'm going to try my best to obey Him. You know, just make that quality decision. Didn't Jesus say, my sheep hear my voice and they won't follow another? Well, that's a quality decision, that I hear the Lord and that I follow Him. That's based on the Word of God. Had Christians, well, I just don't hear from the Lord. No, you're not listening. You ain't praying. You ain't spending time with Him. You're not getting quiet. You're not reading the Word. When you say you can't hear from the Lord, that tells me you're not doing something. Fasting, praying, seeking the Lord, hallelujah. Make quality decisions. You got to let the Word be first place and final authority. Man, time done flew by. I'm enjoying this. Y'all okay? All right. Praise God. Told a dude one time, I said, that's probably why people don't stay here. He said, what's that? He said, just preaching the Word, you know, the way that it is. He said, I like my coffee black. He said, I don't like nothing in mine. He said, we need it straight sometimes. He said, I need it straight. He said, you just don't know how stubborn I am. I said, don't tell me nothing now. I said, just keep on coming to church. He said, I need it straight, man. He said, I don't need this in between whether I can stay where I'm at or not. I need to know straight out. He said, it's easier for me, praise God. You know, that's the way it is for me. That's why I really enjoy the Word of God, because it's straight out, whether it's for me or against me. I mean, I told Travis one time, I said, don't ever change the Word. Try to change the Word to fit your lifestyle. You know, just admit you're wrong and you ain't going to do it. Just don't get deceived. The Word of God is right, and as long as you don't deceive yourself, you're better off than somebody deceived. Somebody deceived, believe they're right and they're okay, and they're not, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise You. And Lord,